a great love and attachment towards salah. Now here we are not talking about our fard salah. Fard salah, we have no choice in that. We have to read our fard salah. But an attachment towards salah. Fard salah, that is a fard, we have to read it. Our zakat, which is fard, we have to discharge it. The fara'id, this is over and above the fara'id. That this person's heart is attached towards salah. Then this person on the day of Qiyamah, this door of Jannat will call him and tell him, enter Jannat through my door, because your heart was attached towards salah. If you look at the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, a very famous Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned about him that he was a very weak Sahabi. When I say weak, doesn't mean weak in Iman and A'mal. Weak meaning his physical structure was a very weak, thin Sahabi. Like we say, not strong, person doing bodybuilding and gymming, etc. That he's got a very big build. See, he's a very strong person. Now, in this regards, he was a very weak Sahabi. Not a lot of strength in him. So it is mentioned, but he used to fast every month 3 days. Ayyam Abi, the 12, 13, 14, 15. He used to fast every month for only these 3 days without fail. So the people asked him that, why is it that you only fast for 3 days in a month? You don't fast like other days, you get Mondays, the Sunnah days, Mondays and Thursdays, etc. Or you don't fast only 3 days in the entire month. So he explains and he tells us people that, you see, I'm a very weak Sahabi. I don't have that strength. If I'm going to fast so often, then I get very tired. And this tiredness is going to affect my night ibadats. My night ibadats. That I will be very tired. I will not be able to continue this ibadat at night. And what ibadat he's talking about at night? He's talking about engaging in salah the entire night, in his tahajjud salah. So over and above the fard salah, this love and this attachment towards salah, that the entire night he would stand in salah. This is the love of salah that the sahaba had for salah, that over and above their fard salah. That now if I fast so often because of my physical condition, I will not be able to stand in salah at night, and I love to perform my salah at night. This will affect it. Therefore, I only fast for 3 days in the month, and every night I'm able to perform my salah. I get enjoyment and I get love and happiness in this performing the salah at night. So these are the people that will be called du'ya min babi salah. On the day of Qiyamah, the door of salah to enter Jannah through this door will call to these people. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned about him that Salatul Duha, Salatul Chast, the mid-morning, 10, 11 o'clock, that time, says that he used to recite 100 rakats of Nafil Salah. Now this would only come when a person has that deep bond and, you know, affection and link and love for Salah. That over and above his Far Salah, Nafil Salah also. When he has this link and this love and attachment towards Salah. There's a special door for this person on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned about him that he used to spend the entire night in salah. At times, he would complete the entire Quran at night in his salah. Now, what drives a person to this? Sometimes mentioning this thing, we may think, how is this possible? The entire night standing in salah, in ibadat. We little bit, if we take the Quran Sharif, our eyes start to close. You read one page, two page, they say if you want to sleep, then make durood, read durood sharif, read Quran, you see your eyes start closing, go and sleep. When we start making ibadat, our eyes start closing. Why that desire and that love is not there? Just to understand, you know, that how is it possible that a person the entire night can stand in ibadat when he has this love? Very, very easy to understand this. Where our heart is attached to, then we'll make effort for that, and that will bring enjoyment and pleasure. So that this one incident crossed my mind when I was reading this thing, that how does love of salah, love of ibadat, worshipping Allah Ta'ala, to understand it. And I remember explaining this thing in 1996, I remember I was just going to madrasa at that time. And it was the Cricket World Cup. I'm not promoting anything, just for us to understand this. I remember very clearly it was the first time that South Africa now playing international cricket. January, February, somewhere that time it was. And I was going to madrasa, so I was still at home. And they were playing in a foreign country, whichever country, not in South Africa. And now the matches are starting 1:30, 2:00 in the morning. So one person told me that now I won't sleep the entire night after Isha. I'm waiting because the match is starting 2:00 in the morning. And what that matches go, how many, 5, 6, 7 hours, one match. So from 1:30, 2 in the morning, you're going to stay awake right till maybe 6, 7 o'clock the next morning to watch the entire match, is the World Cup cricket. So how is it possible that our eyes, you don't feel sleepy? The whole night we can stand and we can sit in front of that shaitan box and we can watch the entire night cricket. Why? Because that love and that desire that we have in our hearts. Easy to understand. Person, the entire night he will sit and watch a sport. Why? Because he has attachment towards it. He'll sacrifice that whole night, his eyes won't close. So like that also, Sahaba had this love and attachment towards ibadat, the worship of Allah Ta'ala. It used to bring enjoyment to their eyes, to their hearts. So it was nothing for them to stand the entire night in the worship and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like that also, today our focus has changed. Our desires, our attractions are all towards those things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people will be called from du'ya min babi salah, Nabi Sam said. This is one door that we can enter Jannat. Allah ta'ala make us from the people of salah, min ahli wa salah. Allah ta'ala make us from amongst this group of people, that the door of salah will call us and we enter Jannat. Our objective in life is to acquire Jannat. Let it be through salah. Then Nabi Sam further went on to say that there's another door, and that is door of jihad, min ahlil jihad, for the people of jihad who had this love for striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. This door will call out to them that they're always ready to fight and strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. One special door for these people. The malaika, the angel will stand up on the day of Qiyamah and announce, make an announcement that where are those people that had that love to sacrifice their lives for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That they will stand up and they will enter Jannah through this door. Thereafter, Nabi Sallam mentions the third door for those people in Ahli Sadaqah. For those people who have love to give Sadaqah. Now this is talking about over and above our fara'id. They love to give in the path of Allah Ta'ala Sadaqah. And you look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, it's amazing when it comes to Sadaqah. You look how they used to give Sadaqah. It's amazing. Today, our attitudes towards Sadaqah is what? That if I got, then I will give. Which is a good thing also that a person has, he gives Sadaqah. But this is our attitude. If I got, I will give. If I haven't got, or I haven't got enough, then I won't give. One Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, an announcement was made. Nabi Sallam made an announcement that they're going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, Sahaba must contribute towards the expedition. A Sahabi at that time, one Sahabi, he had nothing to his name. Absolutely nothing he had. But the announcement is made, whatever you can contribute, contribute. But this love to give in the path of Allah, to give sadaqah, is in the heart of Sahaba. That I also want to be part of this Jamaat as well, but I got nothing. So it is mentioned what he did. He went and looked for a job, for some employment, and he got employment for the night, for the whole night. That you work for the entire night, and you will get paid 2 sa' of kajur. Entire night's employment, 2 sa' of kajur. 2 sa' is approximately about just over 6.5 kilos. 6.7 kgs is 2 sa' of kajur for the entire night employment. He takes this, the whole night he works, the next day he gets 6.5 kilos of kajur as his pay. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next day. As he's coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala was among those sahaba who were very, very wealthy. Allah ta'ala had blessed him with a lot of wealth. Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Abdul Rahman, they were few. But Allah had blessed him with a lot of wealth. And majority of the sahaba were poor. So he is coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one side is this sahabi coming with 6.5 kilos of kajur. And this sahabi on the other end, very wealthy sahabi, is coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, I have 4,000 dirhams. 4,000 dirhams, meaning 4,000 silver coins. Not cheap, silver coins, 4,000. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, half of it, 50%, 2,000 I left for my family, and 2,000 I present to you and Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Half of that. And this sahabi comes on this side with 6.5 kilos of khajur. He says, O Nabi of Allah, that the entire night I worked, I got 6.5 kilos. I left half for my family and I present half to you, O Nabi of Allah. This was sahaba's attitude towards sadaqah. Today if we got, we give. If we haven't got, it's not for me, it's for other people. Sahaba went out of their way to be part of this, min ahli sadaqah. Du'iya min babi sadaqah. These people will be called on the day of Qiyamah to enter Jannah through this door. On one occasion, one person, one youngster came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba learned from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He set the example. So one sahabi, one youngster comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his house. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, my mother sent me. And she says she wants your upper garment, your kurta. You must give it to her. So Nabi Sallam tells this youngster that, oh, youngster, this is the only garment that I have. If I give you this garment, I won't have anything else. This is the only piece of garment I have to cover my upper body. So this youngster says, accepted, that you, how can you give this if you only have this? This was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. So this youngster goes back to his mother and explains to his mother that this is the reply Nabi Islam has given, that he only has this one garment that he's wearing on himself. If he gives it to you, he won't have nothing. After a little while, this youngster comes back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say, O Nabi of Allah, what must I do? But my mother's insisting she wants the garment. She wants your upper garment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes out that garment and he gives it to this youngster. Take and give it to your mother. Sahaba learned from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nevertheless, Nabi Sallam takes it out and he gives it to this youngster. After a short while, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala who calls out the adhan. The adhan is called out and now they are waiting for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to lead the salah. Nabi Sallam is not coming. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala who now goes into the room of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, O Nabi of Allah, we're waiting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, O Bilal, look at my condition. A piece of cloth to cover my upper body. How am I going to come out and lead the salah? This was Rasulullah sallallahu when he came to giving. He say Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said la no, except la in la. One is if he did not have anything, that's not saying la. It's not refusing. I don't have, come next time we will give you. But if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, then whatever he had, he would never refuse, he would give it. So these people will be called on the day of Qiyamah, du'iya min babi sadaqah. And like that Nabi sallallahu continued, that the people of Siyam, from Babur Rayyan, they will be called out, that you people enter Jannah through this door. So now while Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining the Sahaba, this lengthy hadith, that we all have to make effort to at least secure one door. All of us sitting here, at least secure one door, apart from the fara'id, at least specialize in one door. That secure our Jannah through this door. Because Allah Ta'ala told us, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Our object of success is to enter Jannah, secure one door into Jannah. Now Nabi Sallam is telling the different doors. So Sahabi has Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he puts his hand up and he asks the question, O Nabi of Allah, is it possible that a person can enter Jannah through many of these doors? Can we enter Jannah through many of these doors? We know one person can enter through one door. Came into this masjid, we enter through one door. You can't enter through all the doors. You go to the Haram Sharif, they go to hundreds of doors, entrances towards the, inside the Haram Sharif. But you as a single individual, you can only enter through one door. So as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, is it possible that a person can enter Jannah through multiple doors, many doors? Nabi sallam replied, yes. And he says, I hope that you are amongst those people who will enter through Jannah through many doors. The doors of Jannah will call unto you. Why? Because he had these sifats and these qualities in his life. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. He asked Sahaba, man asbaha al-yawma sa'iman? That amongst you today, who is fasting? Who is fasting? As Abu Bakr says, Anna, he raises and I am fasting. Nabi Sallam asked again the next question, who amongst you today has attended a janazah salah? As Abu Bakr raised his hand, Anna, I also attended a janazah salah today. Nabi Sallam asked that which one of you today visited a sick person? Abu Bakr raised and I visited a sick person. Asked another question, whom amongst you today fed a poor person? He said, I fed a poor person. And like this, Nabi Sallam asked question, Abu Bakr raised his hand, and I did this in one day. In one day, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fasting, fulfill the rights of that also. The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the others, the janazah is a right of a believer, fulfilling the rights of a Muslim. Visiting the sick is the right of a Muslim, he fulfilled that also. Assisting the poor and the needy also, the rights of the poor and the needy. And like that is fulfilling the commands of Allah and fulfilling the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is mentioned that these doors will call on Abu Bakr that each one come through me to enter into Jannah. So we need to bring these sifat into our lives. It is mentioned in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 2/3 of the laws and the ahkam are regarding the huququl ibad, the rights of people, fulfilling the rights of people. And today we are lacking this in our lives. We're reading our 5 times salah, but what is our relationship with the people around us? What is our relationship with the people around us? Look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on another occasion. On one occasion it is mentioned that there was a sahabi called Rabi'a bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He put himself forward as the attendant of Rasulullah, meaning that he would fetch water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it wasn't a simple task of opening a tap and filling water. He would go to the well, to the river, draw the water. And it is said that he would hold the water together, hold the water so the entire night, preparing it for Rasulullah ﷺ when he gets up for tahajjud salah. And how he used to do it also, he used to lie down and sleep on the entrance, the doorway of Rasulullah ﷺ, holding that water to keep it warm. So that when Nabi ﷺ gets up for tahajjud salah, it's not possible that Nabi Islam will be able to pass him without stepping over him or touching him and he would wake up. So he used to sleep on that entranceway. Nabi Sallallahu was very, very pleased with him. He was a youngster. Nabi Islam was very pleased with him. On one occasion, Nabi Islam tells him, O Rabi'a, that do you have any desire? Tell me, I'll make dua. What do you want? What desire do you have? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I desire your company in Jannat. He was a youngster. I desire your company in Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua for him, but he tells him, oh Rabi'a, you're a youngster. Youngsters have other things also they want. A lot of other things they have. Tell me what else? He said, nothing else. I just want this. Your company and companionship in Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua. So this was his link with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nevertheless, on one occasion, there was some exchange of words between Rabi'a and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And Abu Bakr realized, you know what, it's my mistake, the error is on my part, what I said is incorrect. But I shouldn't have said this. So immediately he tells Rabi'a, oh Rabi'a, those words that I said, it's my fault, I am wrong. Say those words back to me. He asked him, please forgive me for what I have done, and say those words back to me also. So one is to forgive, and one is to settle it also. Say those words back to me, what I told you, because I am at fault. Rabi'a refuses, never will I do it. Abu Bakr goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the interim, those tribe people of Rabi'a bin Ka'b, they tell him, oh Rabi'a, why didn't you just tell him those words? He said it to you, you should have said it back to him. He said, you all don't know who is this person. You all don't know who this person is. This is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Nevertheless, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr tells Nabi sallam that I was wrong, I'm asking him for forgiveness, I'm telling him to repeat, he's refusing to do it. Concerned. Rabi'a radiallahu anhu comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam tells him, it's good that you did not say those words to us, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But the lesson to learn here, that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wants to settle his affairs, ask for tawbah, ask for forgiveness in dunya. Don't carry that weight to you for akhirat. Because the 5th door of Jannat is the bab of tawbah, the door of tawbah. That people who always asking for forgiveness, making tawbah and istighfar, for them there is a special door. Hazrat Abu Bakr also had this quality in him as well. Seeking for forgiveness. The Qayyum rahimahullah mentions, he says, I find it very surprising that a believer, that he breaks his link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is prepared to face the consequences and the punishment of this also. He breaks his link with Allah ta'ala and he's prepared to face the consequences, the punishment of this. What's the meaning of this is, when a person breaks his link with Allah ta'ala, his attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically he becomes linked and he becomes attached to the things of this dunya. When you break away from Allah ta'ala, then this dunya, the things of this dunya becomes attached to a person. He says, this itself is an azab. That when you break away from, link from Allah ta'ala, and you become attached towards the things of this dunya, this itself is an azab. It does not mean if Allah has blessed someone with the wealth of dunya, it doesn't mean this is an azab. But when we become attached to it, and we give preference to it over Allah ta'ala, then this is itself is a punishment. And he says, when this happens, when a person becomes attached to the things of this dunya, the wealth of this dunya, then he says this itself is an azab. But what happens? The desire of akhirat comes out from the heart of that person now. When the attachment of dunya comes into his heart, then the desire and to acquire akhirat comes out of this person's heart. And this itself is another azab, he says. When the desire for akhirat and for jannat comes out of a person's heart, now he will not even make effort for that also. When the link breaks away from Allah, consequences is that the love and the desire for akhirat comes out of a person's heart. Now he will not make effort towards it. Just to round off quickly, there's so many other doors, the door of al-kazimin al-ghayz, person who controls his anger, there's a door for this person. The bab of dhikr, person whose abundance, attachment to dhikr, there's a door for this person. But however, simple ways for us to secure our jannat via these doors. We finish off, so simple, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith, that person who seeks three times a day, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, he asks for dua for jannat. Just before that, four important points. Firstly, that we should have this desire for akhirat. We should have this desire in our hearts for jannat. And together with the desire for jannat, we must ask for jannat. Make dua for jannat. We must ask for it from Allah Ta'ala, secondly. Thirdly, we must do those actions that will secure our jannat. And fourthly, refrain from those actions that will deprive us of jannat. Four points for us to keep in mind. That we must desire for jannat, dua for jannat. Those are amal that will secure our jannat. And fourthly, refrain from those things that will take us away from jannat. So things that for us to do to secure our jannat over and above our faraid, remember this. Our faraid has to be in place. Mention that person three times in a day. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Oh Allah, even in English, oh Allah, I'm asking and pleading for you for jannat. Grant me jannat. Three times it mentions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the hadith, that Allah Ta'ala allows jannat to hear that call, that dua of yours. And Allah Ta'ala allows jannat the ability to speak. And jannat itself says that this person is asking for me, grant him entry into me, into jannat. Jannat itself makes dua for us now. That, oh Allah, you grant this person entry into jannat, he's asking for it. And that person three times a day, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-nar. Three times, oh Allah, I'm seeking refuge from the fire of Jahannam. The same thing applies. Allah Ta'ala allows Jahannam to hear that and grants it the ability to make the dua that, oh Allah, this person is seeking refuge from me. Oh Allah, you protect him from the fire of Jahannam. So simple. That person every day says, Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola. That I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb, with deen of Islam as my way of life, and with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as my messenger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Dakhal al-Jannah, Allah will grant him in Jannat. On the day of Qiyamah, it is mentioned that a person will come, stand in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, his books will be opened, Allah Ta'ala will now start telling him, you committed all his minor sins will be opened up, that you committed this sin, this sin, this sin. And he will also agree that, oh Allah, I committed this sin. I committed, accepted, I did this, I did that. All his minor sins will be brought in front of him. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala will say that I forgive you, go into Jannat. Now this person be wondering, Allah Ta'ala only spoke about the minor sins. What if the major sins come out? I got so many other dark sins I committed in the dark. Allah never mentioned about those that are far more serious than these ones. What happens? So before anything happens, you say, oh Allah, I also got major sins. Oh Allah, I also got major sins. Allah Ta'ala says, we conceal your sins in dunya, we'll conceal it in akhirat also, you are forgiven entry into Jannah. So your major sins also forgiven entry into Jannah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, who is this person? We want Allah to forgive our minor, our major sins, and we want Allah Ta'ala to also grant us Jannah without taking us to task and not also revealing our sins also. If Allah Ta'ala has to reveal my sins and I have to cover my head with a bin bag and I won't be able to leave my house, because nobody wants to see me. So if Allah Ta'ala discloses and opens up our files and our books in dunya, what will happen to us? So Allah says, I conceal your sins in dunya, I'll conceal it in akhirat, and I'll grant you Jannah forgiveness. So Nabi Sallam says, who is this person? This person is that person who controlled his anger in this dunya. That when he became angry and he could vent his anger, he was able to overpower that person. That person was a weak person, for example. He could take advantage over that person. And he was angry and he could vent his anger. But he controlled his anger at that point. Not when we see a big-sized guy and then we control. We say, no, I'm controlling my anger. I'm going very calm. That's not it. When we see someone who we can take advantage over the situation. But at that point, he controls. Nabi Sallam did not say he does not get angry. This is a quality of insan. We will get angry. Quran speaks about it also. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ That those who control their anger and overlook and forgive the others. So Nabi Sallam said, that person in dunya who controlled his anger, he did not vent his anger, then Allah Ta'ala will conceal his sins in dunya also, Allah will conceal it in akhirat also, Allah will forgive his minor and major sins, and Allah Ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah as well. So these are the doors. Let us make ourselves secure one of these doors at least. Whether it's the bab of salah, du'a min bab of salah, Allah must call us to enter Jannah through the door of salah. If it's not salah, then let it be sadaqah, or let it be roza, or let it be tawbah, or let it be striving in the path of Allah, or let it be through the door of zikr, or let it be the eighth door that we did not mention was the door of tawakkul. The door of tawakkul, putting our full trust and reliance on Allah Ta'ala. That whatever happens, happens with Allah, my full yaqeen and conviction. Those who have this perfect and full yaqeen and conviction and trust in Allah Ta'ala, there's a special door for them, the bab of tawakkul, that they will enter Jannah through this door. Allah Ta'ala make us part of these people, of these jamaats, who will enter Jannah through these doors. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.